Blog Talk Radio.
Hello? Hey there, Jose. Zenithon.
What's up, brother? Can you hear me good?
Yeah, I hear you good. Hey, I'm going to turn my headset up, though. I hear you a little bit better.
All right, cool. Yeah, I had to woke some of these bitch-ass niggas earlier today.
Yeah. So, are you over in Africa?
Yeah, I'm over right now.
Okay. Yeah, so I figured the time zones is way different. I spent a lot of time over in the Middle East and Egypt.
Yeah. So, you're in the military, that's right. And Turk, like, your mom was in the military, too.
Yeah, 20 years.
Bro, I think he roasted Donovan Sharp for having a real girlfriend or something like that. Donovan, you know, Donovan used to be with me. I don't like Donovan anymore myself, but I thought that was funny.
Yeah.
Donovan was actually a part of the mental spirit. Negro
Manosphere
for a while.
Yeah, I'm not big into the Manosphere stuff either. I just kind of, I kind of just want to tend to myself, but at the same time, if I can help somebody with my message, I'm all for it.
Yeah, man.
Because
I was
helped by a message.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I mean, you know, people are going to criticize it to a certain degree, but. Bro, listen, I'm about helping black men, bro. You know, I don't care what you do. You want to fuck sex dolls or pets? Oh, well, not pets, but, you know.
Say, do you, as long as you're not hurting anybody else, why are you doing it?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, a brother that was on before me last night, he reached out to me and we was chatting. Yeah, we're pretty like-minded, yeah. He says,
you
know, it's cool that... I go by Zenithon.
Okay. Yeah, man, this is a community, bro. Like, you know, we try to help brothers, man. A lot of times, the brothers got to go to other communities where the white guys are at. And, you know, the white guys, they tend to be a little bit less judgmental, but then in the end, they start to be hate. So, we need to get over that, man, and let the brothers come in to have different ways of doing things.
Yeah, my cousin so far has been the most acceptable. And my sister has been very understanding in my situation. But most other people are just like, you're weak. There's something wrong with you. You need to go throw them shackles back on and toss yourself out to enslave yourself to another woman. But my cousin has really had my back. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to start the live stream up. And, you know, let me see. Can you hear me good?
I can hear you good.
I think you can, right?
Yeah, right. I hear you.
So what we'll do is on this
How do I sound?
We'll let people call.
How am I sounding?
You sound really good.
Because I'm rolling down the highway in my big truck, bumping bumps and just bouncing along, having a good drive.
All right, let me do this real quick.
MGTOW trucking.
All right, let me do this real quick. All right, so let me go ahead, dog, and let's just get started. Let me know when you're ready, man.
I'm ready.
All right. On the O'Shea Blogcast channel, man. I'm your host, O'Shea Duke Jackson. Brothers, do I got a show for you today. And we are live on the call-in number, 646-668-2519, if you want to call in. 646-668-2519. Sorry about the shady-ass camera, but, you know, we're going to get it in. Last night, we had a show on man weave and sex dolls, right? Shout out to Wake the Hell Up. Thank you for the time. And we had a caller at the end, man. If you guys could remember, a brother called in that was a trucker, and he actually kind of hard to explain it. He is in a relationship with a sex doll, right? He even has made an Instagram page for the sex doll. I will put the Instagram page for the sex doll in the description in the first comment. And I thought it was a joke, but it's actually very real. He was married twice, and now he is with the sex doll. The sex doll has a phone, a Samsung Galaxy 7. So we're going to talk to him about that. He's actually on the line. You guys can actually call in and talk to him today. So, again, I want to appreciate all the brothers that's here today. And he wants to be a part of the conversation, so I'm going to bring him on the road right now. So call in to the show, 646-668-2519. Let me bring the brother on Blog Talk Radio, Xanathan. What's up, brother? How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on again, O'Shea. Get this message out so I can save some more people, that, you know, some more men out here in my situation don't know what to do with themselves.
All right. Shout out to the brother Taz. So, Xanathan, I know you're on the road right now, and thank you for calling in into the show. Tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, if you want to do that, what kind of work you do.
Well, yeah, like you said, currently I'm a trucker, but I did 20-odd years in the military. I retired. I sustained injuries that, you know, pushed me towards my retirement, or else I'd still be in. So now I got out, tried IT work for a while. I didn't like the office space, didn't like the gynocentric circles. And the way the marketplace worked, I got tired of watching people get promoted over me. And it seemed it was solely based on their gender rather than their performance. And I just had to leave that area. So now I'm out here trucking, doing my own thing. And my effort gives me my rewards. And I get what I get. And nobody gets put over me because I'm doing my own thing. It's kind of hard at first, you know, getting out the military. You know, I'm in there doing my thing, you know, eliminating threats, moving towards danger all the time. It was great. It was great work. Taking out people for my country, doing my best not to get taken out. But, you know, eventually it kind of caught up to me a little bit and I had to get out.
Let's talk about
you come out here
to me. Go ahead.
Was that? Oh no! Did you come out of the military? Yeah, and then, and you have to join back into this community, and you have to be nice. And there's all these hidden civil rules that you kind of you grow not aware of after so much time in the military and life and death, and where it makes sense, and then out here it doesn't make so much sense. And I was put on a lot of drugs to try to cope. And I got to a point to where I didn't understand what was going on after my first wife, and I was dealing with my daughter, with my first wife, and then my second wife, our relationship was going sour. And then it's like it seemed like it was out of the blue, getting another divorce. Yeah. And the thing was, yeah, I was married. I thought I was happily married, even though I hadn't had, you know, sexual relationship with her in almost 3 years. So.
So you were married to, can you hear me?
I was married to my second wife for 10 years. And after I retired, after I was injured, and, you know, I had broken my back, so I had to go through some surgeries and whatnot. So we really weren't trying to do a lot while my back was messed up, but then I healed up. But then I was having problems with society, and I guess I was getting put on meds and stuff, and it's just, I don't know. It's like, I guess I came out of frame. You know, I was a manly man. I was a man in the military. I was out there. I was a killer. I was, you know, I'm a looker. I mean, I'm a fit dude, and I'm not an ugly dude. But being put on all those meds and getting the surgeries and stuff, it just showed her my weakness, I guess, and she didn't take that, and it just, she wasn't intimate with me no more. It was kind of rough. And then out of nowhere, she hit the 10-year mark, and she wanted a divorce because at 10 years, where we were at, she gets lifetime alimony if she can say I abused her. So she threw a bunch of that into the divorce, said I abused my kids, said I abused her, and, you know, tried to, you know, get lifetime alimony. She wanted all the cash and prizes. She got the house. She got a couple of cars. She got, you know, she didn't get alimony, and she didn't get half of my military retirement. She was going for that too. She was going for everything. She ain't need no man. She just needed all my shit. All that I fought for, all I bled for, all I was injured for, my life's work. I left that family with a car, not my truck, but a car. One of the three cars. I got the car, and I had a couple of baskets of clothes and a few of my personal items. That's what 10 years of a marriage amounted to me. And I left her. She took like $150,000 out of my account and, you know, took my kid, got to get put on child support. Fortunately, she didn't get alimony, though. Fortunately, because she had, you know, because I got her damn near doctorates. I paid for all that for her. And in the end, it ain't good enough. I mean, and my first wife was kind of the same way. I came back from, after I got my degree, I'm a doctor now. I don't need your money, and I don't need you no more. Peace. I'm like, damn. These women, man, they're scandalous. So when I got done with the second one, the thirst is real, man, because I'm still a man. I'm a man, and these women was, but I knew the minute that I opened my nose to one of them, it was going to be the same situation the third time. I didn't see my dad. My dad's working on his fifth marriage right now. It's ridiculous. I think he's retarded as hell.
Why?
Fifth marriage.
Fifth?
What's that?
Whoa, fifth marriage. Okay, your dad's on the fifth marriage.
Yeah, my father's on his fifth marriage, and he complains about her, and I'm like, don't tell me about it. Because you should have known better the second, the third, the fourth time, and then you're going to do it again? That's on you. This is all you. This is your silliness. Don't be bringing me into it. So, and he's upset with me, though, because I won't marry again. I won't fall, you know, because I won't join his misery. He don't want to never talk to me about none of that. Always telling me I need to get back into the game so I can do the Lord's work and make some more Christians. I said, I got to. That's enough. So, no, I got a doll, man. I needed a doll to deal with the thirst. I got a doll to deal with the thirst, man, because the minute I knew that if I went back in, nose is going to be wide open. I fall in love easy. Yeah.
Like, okay, when you say you fall in love easy, can you talk about what type of things that you fall, like, what makes you fall in love easy, and what kind of things do you start to do when you fall in love?
So, I want to make sure that she's well taken care of.
Okay.
You know, ensure that she wants for nothing because I can afford it. Because I do. I'm a man that does. And well, I guess in the end, they kind of just take advantage of that. But I show my love to them. You know, I'm very lovey-dovey. Not in words, but in actions. I'm not a very big talker. I don't sit down and spit a bunch of game. I just am. I'm there. I have this, I don't know. I guess it was they said it was a machismo that I had. I'm just a very confident individual, but I'm kind of quiet, reserved.
Okay.
And I guess, again, my look, what I look like really works. So, but other than that, yeah, I just take care of them. I take care of them. Yeah. They need, I give. And it's just, there's something wrong with me in that aspect. But they're supposed to love me, so there shouldn't be nothing wrong with me giving.
Okay.
And I love them, so there should be nothing wrong with me giving. But I've learned that when you don't tell a woman no enough, they lose respect for you.
All right, let me ask you this. What requires, and we're going to get into the sex doll thing in a minute, but you love easily. What investment does a woman or did a woman have to make to get you to do these things for her? What was it that she had to do?
Huh. She had to give that ass to me. That's it. Well, she had to get that ass to me, but she also, no, because there's a lot of girls that I got that I didn't want nothing to do with. But she had to be what I wanted, what I wanted for one, and then she had to, get the ass up to me and be willing to just be with me. So I had standards. I had standards, and I had a type. Yeah, so I still have a type, and if they fit the type and they meet my standards. An overall decent person that they can't be nasty and all that stuff. So it's, if I hit that and then she accepts, then she's got that golden ticket to my wallet. Yeah.
Okay, let me, Brother Gregory, and Brother Paradise, I'm going to read you, Brother, to thank you, Brother, so much. We have Brother, and Brother, did you call in? Tonight, the queue is available. 646-668-2519. If you guys want to talk to the brother that I'm on the phone with, that's what we're doing, right? If you have questions, guys, be respectful, okay? So if you women are there and want to call and talk to him, you can do so. 646-668-2519. All right, let me ask you this. Now I understand what you've been through in your life. How did you get to where you are with the sex doll's name is Yumi, right?
Yeah, Yumi. Yes.
Okay, yeah, Yumi. I follow Yumi, the sex doll, on Instagram. I'm one of the 60 followers, which you operate the sex doll's page. How did you get to be in the relationship with you?
Well, I figured I'd just try it out, man. I just figured I'd try it out. And, like I said, I listen to TFM, and TFM talks up Celestina all the time. So I was like, I'm going to try this out. And I kept putting it off. The thirst was killing me. I was in turmoil. I was in biological and mental turmoil walking through this world trying to keep myself away from all these women. And and it was painful. So eventually I knew I was going to need to get this doll. So I just broke down and got it. And I broke down, went and got it. And now I'm like, that's it. I just went and ordered her. I looked it up online, figured out which one I wanted, and I ordered her. She came in, I put her up in my truck, and I just stuck her in the back.
Okay.
She was just back there. It's not like I was like, immediately taken to her. He's like, she was just a doll it's like, she was real pretty, she was what I wanted. But then I sat back there with her a little bit, learned how to manipulate her body some, and then I had sex with her. The first time was kind of weird.
Okay.
But it was enjoyable.
Then
I did it again
first,
and the next thing I know,
weird.
I'm attached.
Let's talk about it.
Oh.
Let's talk about it being weird. What was weird
about
it the first time?
Because I was in my own head about social stigma. I was in my own head about social stigma, which I don't need to worry about that because I'm not looking for external validation. And I had to remember, this is for me. This ain't for the world. So who cares what the world is going to think about what I'm doing? And then once I got that out of my head, it's all right. And then initially inserting her vagina, her vaginal insert was kind of weird at first, but now it's part of the the preparation, part of the foreplay, just like playing with a woman down there, man. It's part of the foreplay, getting her prepared. And then the fact that she was cold. Yeah, her skin was cold. But when I got into it, my body, my mind and stuff, it just quit noticing that she was cold. So it was kind of weird at first. But then when your mind starts getting into it and you're looking down and you see this beautiful woman and she feels like a woman, except so she's cold. I mean, her vagina feels like a woman because it's nice and warm. You put the warming lube up in there, and it's and then you just have a good time. And you get into it, you forget that it's a doll. And now I look forward to my breaks. I'm like, dang, Yumi's back there waiting on me. Yeah.
I gotta get
done with this trip.
let me kind of get so take me through the process of again. You first got this idea to get a sex doll. Was somebody told you about it, or were you in a community? I know you watch her playing Monkey. Shout out to TFM, big channel on YouTube.
Yeah.
He has a sex doll also.
Yeah.
How did you get into
Happy Hermit? Yeah, Happy Humble Hermit. How did I get into it? Winter, when that big flu thing was going around, that big flu scare that was killing folks. Well, I caught that flu. I caught that flu, and I was down. I was way down. I was down. And my wife was like, you need to go to the hospital. Instead of just taking me to the hospital, she told me I needed to get up and go to the hospital. I was like, I ain't going to the hospital. But I couldn't go to work. I was out of work for almost a week because of that flu. And I was just laying there. I didn't want to eat. I didn't want to do anything. I was just sitting there listening to random YouTube, waiting to die because I had nothing else going on. I was like, I was sick of life. I was sick of these drugs. I was sick of being in a stupor. I was sick of my job. I was sick of not being capable.
What kind of drugs were you taking, and what were you doing at the time? What kind of job were you working at, and what kind of drugs?
So I was working IT at that time, and I was on antipsychotics. I was on an antidepressant. I was on another little pill. I'm not sure what it did, except for on that pill I couldn't get an erection. So they also gave me the blue pills. So they issued me those too. The VA gave me some of those, so that if I did want to have sex with my wife, I could take one of those and have sex. So it was just like I was on these, and then I was on some pain pills for my back, for my surgery. So I was gonna be one of those people that was gonna, those opioid addicted people. Yeah. So I was worried about that too, that how I was gonna get off these opioids. So I was just gonna lay there and die. I was like, I'm sick of this. This is not, if I die this away, they'll get all the insurance money and they'll be okay. Because obviously something's not going right with our relationship anyway. The world is crumbling to me. I don't understand why things are the way they are. Nothing makes sense because I'm in the psychiatrist and the therapist and the occupational therapist. They're all telling me one thing, but my brain is screaming at me that it's not real. So this random video came up. It was Sandman talking about something. And I was like, huh. And then the next thing I know, it was TFM talking about She'll Never Love You. And then Red Pill Grief Cycle. I'm like, what is – and talking about the world, the way the world really is. It's like – he was like my Morpheus. He handed me that red pill. And then from there, once I understood that – he was saying exactly what my brain had been screaming the whole time, except where there was nobody else saying it with me, so it wasn't real.
Okay.
And obviously I was wrong because all these professionals were telling me I'm wrong because I'm masculine, because, I can kick ass and I kill people, and it's what I do. It's what I did anyway. But now all that's wrong all of a sudden. So,
okay.
And I had to
learn. Go ahead.
And so after I heard that stuff, it was like life came back to me. And I just stopped taking my medication. I stopped going to that psychiatrist that was lying. Well, I didn't stop going to him. I went to him one more time to tell him that I figured out what was wrong with me. And he said, well, you know, he tried to get it out of me. And I was like, no, I can't go into it with you right now, but I'm not coming back here. And then that was that with them. And I quit taking all the meds. I started exercising. I'm back in shape. And my wife left me because I took over the finances to get us out of this little bit of – she had me thinking that we were broke. But then I come to find out that she had been squirreling all the money away, and I had been allowing her to do that for years.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like she'd been saving up for this exit.
Oh, she was saving up to leave. So your ex-wife –
Yeah, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, she had a whole savings account that I didn't know about.
Whoa. Okay, how did you find out that she had a whole savings account that you didn't know anything about?
Because I went, I saw that she was making transactions in large amounts to another account, and I went to that bank, and they said I couldn't access that account. And then 2 weeks later, I got a divorce statement.
So the money was coming out of, I'm assuming you had an account with her and you. You had a joint account. Is that right?
Yes. We had a joint account, but then she had another. Well, we didn't have a joint account. We both had our own accounts, but we had access to each other's account. We could transfer money in and out of each other's accounts.
Okay, so she was.
And that's how we did
money
it.
Out of your account. To
which was
account.
Fine because it goes to pay. Because she was maintaining the bills while I was out, you know, because I spent a lot of time overseas. My job, I would deploy a lot, moments notice, and I would be gone for unannounced amounts of time. So she had to really maintain and run that household. So she would take the money, and she would do what she needed to do with it, and I didn't question it because I thought she had our family's back. But what she was doing, when I went back and looked, she was also taking a lot of the money, and when she said it was for bills, she was squirreling it away into another account. When I went to that bank, and you could only go to that bank in person, they wouldn't service me because my name was not on the account. So I don't know how much money she had in that account. Yes.
Okay. Well, what did you do when you confronted her about this, you know, hey, this large amount of money is going to the, what did she say at that point?
That's her money. Yeah. Her money is her money. Mm-hmm. My money is her money. And, you know, here's your allowance. You deal with that. I'm like, what? And I told her, no, I'm taking over these finances. And again,
okay.
That was it. Yeah. She exited. She
mm-hmm.
took her cash,
right,
her prizes,
she
and she exited.
All right. Let me kind of get back to the situation with you make the decision to get the sex doll. You finally get it. Before you have sex, but when you order the sex doll, I noticed that the sex doll's name is Yumi, right? Is it Yumi or Yemi? I don't want to get it wrong.
Yumi, yeah. Like I
Yumi.
Named her.
Okay.
It's a philosophical name, like you, me. She represents me, so she's Yumi. I look at her, and it's like I'm looking at myself. So she's Yumi. It's just a little philosophical twist I put on her. Because when I ordered her, her order name is Petunia. On the sales place, she's Petunia. But I couldn't see myself calling her Petunia.
let me ask you this.
Yeah.
I'm going to shout out the brothers on the Super Chat. Guys, do me a favor. You can actually follow the sex doll on Instagram. This is for real. This is not a joke. You can actually do this. The Instagram page is that. I do follow the sex doll, Yumi_KE. So you brothers also can follow Yumi on Instagram. I guess it doesn't make much sense to get in the Yumi's inbox and try to holler at Yumi because Yumi can.
Oh, I think I had a break of heart today.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, this
you
morning I had. This morning she got
Instagram.
A DM.
Yumi, the sex doll, got a DM. What did the DM say?
Oh, he wanted to know if she was free. There's another guy that wants to know if she wants to become his co-pilot. She wants to become, you know, his co-pilot. And I had to let them know, you know, I still say it in her voice, no, I'm a doll, and my owner just puts me in pretty poses for pictures. If you would like one like me or your own custom doll, then I put a link to the DC Dollhouse in there for them. Then get their own Yumi.
Let me kind of go back.
But the funny thing is, they also don't quit following, and they actually continue to like further pictures.
Okay,
so
let me kind
they
of
were
go back
cool with it. Yeah.
Let me go back to what you said. Somebody sends Instagram messages. Now, it probably was one of my subscribers. I'm probably betting that's probably what it was. So the guy tries to holler at the sex doll, which is disturbing, unless the person didn't know. But if it is, but let me kind of get back to this. Then you say that you respond as if you were the sex doll. You don't say like, "Yo, I'm Zenithon. This is my sex doll page." You respond as if you are.
It's her page. The doll responding, yes. Because the page is for her to help me visualize her more as a human. So when I look at her page, I'm seeing her through me, but I'm making it. So it's my own delusion, yes. But it helps me to personify her and love her just a little bit more because I need that. That's my salve. That's my medicine. So I create that account. And I personify her and make her as real as possible to me so that I can get to the, you know, through each day. Suffering, you know, another woman to destroy my life a third time.
Okay. All right, so let me kind of get back, because we're going to talk a lot of questions, but let me just say this. Have you ever about, because I see on some, let me just, and I want to talk about holes. This is your truck. When you stand there out of, she definitely looks like a real person. But let me ask you about that last night. You were married to black women, and this sex doll is Asian.
Talk
to me again about why you told this. Yeah, let's talk about why you like sex dolls.
Okay, so again, it starts back where I am half white and half black. My father is black, my mother is white. But my mother abandoned me and abused and abandoned me at a young age, and then she was pretty terrible as a mother while I knew her up until my young teenager years, and I didn't talk to her after being a teenager. When I was grown, I never communicated with her. And also, her whole side of her family had nothing to do with me or my brother, you know, our family, because we were black. Our father was black, so her family wanted nothing to do with us and disowned her. So I didn't have a good relationship with white people. And the town that I grew up in was a little town in the Midwest, and it was, when I was growing up, it was very racist because my father was black. We were treated pretty poorly by the community because we were black. No matter how light we were, our father was black. So I don't really bond to white people in that way. I can't see them as somebody that I could love deeply. I can respect white people, and you know, but I can't. It's cringy to think of loving one or giving to one, because all I know is rejection and abuse from the white side from growing up is my foundation. And then both of my wives were black, and both of my wives hurt me. Both of my wives I still love them because I love them, and I still love them. They just choose not to love me anymore because that's a woman's prerogative. That's one of the things that they're really good at, just stopping loving somebody. They can just stop loving somebody. Well, I'm a man, and for some reason, my brain doesn't work that way. I still love them. I would never take them back because that's a terrible idea to do, but it doesn't make me love them nonetheless. So if I chose to get a black doll, it would remind me of them all the time, and it would be very painful for me. Because, yeah, my second wife, she would be really, she was still jealous of my first wife because, yeah, I told her, yeah, I still love her. I love you too. I love you even more now because you're the one that's getting all my time and my resources. But that doesn't take away my love from her, and she's still the mother of my daughter. But, yeah, I didn't get a white doll because that's cringy to me. And I didn't get a black doll because that would make me sad. And then the Latina dolls that they have there don't look quite right to me. And, again, the doll market is like 90% Asian dolls anyway. So it's just easier to pick an Asian doll.
Let me ask you this. You mentioned that you love your wife, you love your second wife. I know that you have a child, my wife. You did talk about that you had bonded with you and me. Do you love you? And if so, how can you justify a love for her or it or such? So.
Oh, well, how do I justify loving her? I don't need to justify loving her. It's my prerogative who I love.
Okay.
And it's my prerogative who I love or what I love. That's, yeah. And,
yeah.
Again, I love her.
Okay.
I know she can't love me because she's an inanimate object. But at the same time,
okay,
she can't hurt me either.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm going for. I'm going for being able to be myself with something
mm-hmm.
or somebody that will not hurt me because I love them. Because that's the only way I get hurt. I only get hurt through love. If I don't love you, you can't hurt me.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. What about some people who may say, we're going to get to what your family and some of your friends think. What would you say to a person who's, all right, son, you can just deal with call girl, turn her out of the
You're breaking up.
Can you hear about what have you been told about, like, prostitutes? Why don't you deal with prostitutes or stuff like that?
Oh, prostitutes?
Have you heard about?
No, I can't mess with
her.
I can't mess with a prostitute. Yeah, no, I can't mess with a prostitute. No, that's too dangerous and it's nasty. I'm not that kind. I don't get down like that. Even while I was married to both of my wives and I was gone all the time, I was able to abstain myself, and I had no problem abstaining when I knew that I had somebody that had my back. I was abstaining for a reason, and I have a very strong will that away. The problem was when I no longer had either one of those women holding my back, my abstinence became painful. But, yeah, I couldn't mess with a prostitute. No, I don't even mess with random women. It's just nasty to me. Well, my dad also taught me a long time ago when I was growing up. He said, don't ever lay with a woman unless you think or believe you can spend the rest of your life with them. Because, yeah, if you have a baby by them, you're going to spend the rest of your life with them, nagging and bothering you. So, yeah, I took it to heart from a kid. And I saw the crap, I saw the women that my dad would bring into the house all the time in between his marriages. And I was like, I don't want to deal with that mess. So, no. Yeah, and then prostitutes? Just can't do it. It's nasty to me.
Okay, let me ask you. You're very vocal in some. I mean, I would say some of the guys who may do this, get a sex call. At least that's what I'm assuming. It could be different. But your family. What does your family and your friends think about your relationship with you?
Well, again, so I want to make a shout out to my cuzzo in St. Louis, Collective Minds Radio, Mustafa Ra. Yeah, he's got my back. He's got my back big time. And my other cuz, Rigel Starr out there, she holds it down for me too. She thinks it's could cause a mental problem, but other than that, she says as long as, you know, I'm happy, you know. So they help me, you know, they support me. My brother, not so much. My brother thinks it's creepy. But, you know, to each his own. My sister supports me. She says, it's weird, but you and me, we're together in this, and I'm going to help you just like you've always helped me. And my father won't hear nothing of it. My father, not a word about it. Can't tell him nothing. Because she's not real, and it's living in sin, because he's a devout, you know, he's a devout Christian. He's going to heaven for sure on his fifth wife. My auntie just thinks I'm weak. My auntie's almost like my actual mother. My auntie's like my actual mother.
What was your auntie
saying? Was that?
Tell me what's the word
she thinks.
What does your auntie say?
That if I was stronger, I would just abstain. I don't need no doll. Just don't deal with women. I'm like, but as a woman, they don't understand what the thirst is like. They don't understand. They don't understand that turmoil and that stupid shit you do because of thirst. And I didn't want to do that stupid shit anymore. Turning around and walking the wrong direction, wasting 5 minutes of my life because a girl looked pretty. You know, I'm like, no, I don't want to do that. I want my 5 minutes. It's my 5 minutes. She don't get my 5 minutes because she ain't worth my 5 minutes. So, and it's just little things. It's those little things. They started just poking me and jabbing me. It's like, why am I doing this? I want to go this direction. Stop following that ass. It is a nice ass, but it's not yours, and you're not going to touch it because you can't afford it. The risk is too high. Now go and get your cell phone cover that you come into this store to get in the first place. See, those little things, and they really stick out to me. So I needed my doll. And now that I got my doll, that stuff, I'm just in and out, breezing by. Women don't faze me because I've attached. I have something. I have my own. And that's, you know. But, yeah, and I tried to explain that to my auntie, and she's just like, uh-uh, you're just weak. You're just weak. I'm happy that you're happy, but your fake doll, but it's weak. And I'm like, all right, I love you too. Yeah. But, you know, and then as for friends, my friends that I don't really have any friends. I have people that I'm acquaintance with. And one group of them, they think that it's creepy and it's cringy, and another couple think it's pretty cool, and that I'm, you know, now they're looking into it, and they're pretty, you know, because now that I've done it, then it's kind of, it makes it acceptable because they know somebody with one, so they're not weird anymore.
Oh, okay, let's talk about that. Have people who have not been interested, like you said,
has anybody what?
Has anybody purchased a sex doll because of you?
Not yet. Not, or they haven't told me that they have. So, I have my my landlord that I live in a room in his house. He thinks he's gonna get one. Because, you know, I had her delivered to his house, and I unboxed him. I unboxed her in front of him, and he was like, he thought it was so amazing. He helped me get her into my truck, and he just thought she was so amazing and lifelike and real. He's the only man that got to touch her titty, and nobody else going to get to touch her like that. But I wasn't bonded at that time yet. She was still just an object.
How do you pair bond? I mean, I'm not asking, you know, to be, you know, judgmental, but I'm trying to figure out if you weren't pair bonded initially, what was the change that got you pair bonded now? How did you go from there to here?
Vasopressin. I had sex with her a couple of times, and that's so. When you have sex with a woman, it's different from when you masturbate. When you masturbate, you only get about 25% of your love chemicals that make you, you know, you just get the bare minimum of the orgasm, and you don't release the vasopressin because your biological mind does not want you falling in love with your hand. Then you would never go out and reproduce. So when you actually have sex with a woman, you get your full release. And within that full release, it's like you get dopamine and vasopressin. And the vasopressin makes you want to commit to a woman, because committing to a woman is an illogical act. Committing to a woman for a man, because men are logical creatures. We're rational and we're logical. Women are irrational and illogical, and they get on your last nerve. But for some reason, we still want to be around them. That's vasopressin. When you have this, when you're making love to this woman, and next thing you know, you're going to put up with any and all of her shit. That's because you bonded to her. That's that vasopressin and that sex. Because you're not like that before you have sex with her. Now, when you're thirsty, you might act like that. But if you don't have sex with her after a while, you're going to wander away from her. But then when you start having sex with her, that's where these love songs come from. You make me cry, my life without you, and all this bullshit. Because of a chemical release in your brain. So it's not that hard to fathom that if I had sex with a human-looking doll and I have my full orgasm with that doll, and that's what I was seeing, and that's what my mind is now enraptured in, because of that release, it wants that release again and again from this particular woman, you become pair bonded. And that's what I knew, that's what I needed, that's what I wanted so that I could get through life without the thirst. I had to quench the thirst. And because I understood, I went and ordered the doll, and I prayed that the doll would work, and it did. Because we are big chemical robots.
Okay. How does it all work? I mean, are there anything that you need to do to
is there anything I need to do to what? I'm not sure why we keep getting you keep breaking up. Am I breaking up? Am I breaking up? I hear you with your roboting. Oh, there you go. Well, I'm having a hard time hearing you, but I believe your question is there anything that I would like Yumi to be more of or do more of? And the only thing that I really would like her to be able to do would be to give me a hug. That's about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. Have you had the urge since you pair bonded with Yumi, when you see a good looking woman that comes by, would you consider, if you had a relationship with or if you fucked a lady, would you consider that to be cheating?
Well, yeah, but it won't happen because I have the doll and she's doing exactly what I want to do, is helping me ignore them. But yeah, it would be because before I bonded with Yumi, I was talking to my cuzzo about, because he wants to be, he's down with polygamy. So I was telling him about, yeah, I'm about to get me a couple of dolls. I had my eye on like 3 dolls that I wanted. But you know, once I pair bonded with her, I didn't even want those other 2 dolls because I didn't want to hurt her. And she's an inanimate object. She can't be hurt. But my heart was already set on bringing her, her happiness. So I was like, no, I ain't going to spend another $4,000 on either of the dolls. I'm just going to buy her a new head.
Let's talk about this real quick. You bought the doll in your head. You spent like $400?
Yes.
Okay. Why did you buy the doll in your head again?
Did you ask why I bought her a new head? Oh, because the current head that I have, when I purchased her, I wasn't really thinking that I was going to do much more with her than just leave her in the bed. And I had my eyes, again, already on a couple of other dolls that I were going to have doing other things. They were going to be kind of specialized. But, you know, I realized that I wanted her to do those other roles as well. So I needed to get her another head with the eyes open. So it's the same exact head as she has, except for with the eyes open.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay.
So that all of her pictures aren't pictures with her eyes closed.
Okay. Let me ask you this. Do you go out in the public? I mean, people in America, what's that that you're with? Does that ever happen?
Oh, man, this is getting rough because I can't really hear what you're saying. You asked if I, when I go out in public, are you asking if I take Yumi out to public with me?
Yes.
Well, I sit her up in the front of the truck with me. And I've taken her out of the truck once to take a picture with her, but that was a lot of work, and it was and I got a scuff on her, so I'm not going to really do that much with her like that anymore. All her pictures are going to be in the truck from now on. Until, you know, like when I take on truck breaks, then I'll put her in the car with me and then we'll do pictures elsewhere because I ain't got to get her up in and out of this big-ass truck. But, no, people, like, when I was taking her down out of the truck, there was a guy next to me in the truck next to me. He didn't say – he looked and he was just like, huh, and he went back to looking, doing what he was doing. He didn't care that I was manhandling this ex-doll. Another trucker is doing his trucker thing, you know. He used to watch me put her back up in there, you know. They can see me posing her in the window. They don't care. We truckers are a weird lot, I guess, so we just leave each other to their own devices. Other than that, no, I haven't. The most I've done weird in public because of her was wash and detangle and curl a wig in a laundromat in front of a bunch of women that, you know, and this black dude. And they were just, I was waiting on my laundry to wash and dry, and I'm over here, you know, got the fabric softener in a bucket, you know, and some water, and I'm washing out her wig, and then I pull it out, and I got my little pink detangling comb, brush, and started detangling it. And I put the curlers in it and set it all up and let it dry, and it just like, and I'm in flannels. I wear flannels and jeans and big boots and my trucker hat, you know, and I got a big beard, and I'm in here messing with a wig, and I'm a pretty... Pretty fit dude. I'm a fit dude. I'm like, you know, or I go into Walmart and I buy up a bunch of girl clothes. Or I, you know, but you know, they might just think I'm buying clothes for my daughter. You know? Oh, that's another thing about my doll, man. Her foot is so tiny. I can't buy a woman's shoes for her. She's got like a size 2 foot, size 2 in use. Yeah,
okay.
She's got such a tiny foot.
What about if you want to do things like go to the movies or go out to dinner? I mean, things like that guys kind of like to do with women. Do you miss that kind of interaction with women?
No, I'm a trucker.
Okay, but obviously
I'm kind of
downtime, right?
I'm down with the solitary life right now. But if I really – I go to the movies by myself, and I'm just fine. I'll go to a movie. Like, I watched Alita 3 times by myself. I watched a couple other movies. I just go to the movies by myself, and I enjoy them. I go and see what I want to see, when I want to see it, and I leave and go where I want to go directly after. I ain't got to put up with a bunch of other mess about this, a mess about that. I need this. Well, I don't want to watch that. I want to watch this. No. I go and see what I want to see when I want to see it. I go and eat where I want to eat when I want to eat it. No, I don't. And you know, once I've been freed up from the nagging, I'm kind of glad. I don't miss that aspect. If I wanted to take Yumi with me to these places, I mean, it's kind of pointless because she can't enjoy it either. I'm not that gone to where I'm sitting going to take her to the movie and start talking to her in the movie, and people hush me because I'm talking to a doll in the movie. I still understand, and I'm fully aware that she is a doll. Yeah, so, I mean, the most, if I took her out in public, it would be mostly to take her to a place to get her some custom-made clothing, to get her measurements or to get her some clothing or something, or to get her a new wig. You know, try some wigs.
Okay.
Or if I need to take a flight and I want to take her with me. The wigs? I'm not sure yet. I haven't bought her a wig yet.
You said taking her on a plane. You would take her
on a
plane.
Yeah, if I wanted to travel... Yeah, if I want to go overseas because I want to do some world traveling, I don't want to spend two weeks away from her. I'm going to take her with me. So I'm going to have to buy another seat, and that's going to be a whole new experience taking her through the airport. I got to get her a little wheelchair, and, you know, people be like, well, you know, I got two tickets. Yeah, one for her and one for me. Well, where's her ID? She's not real. Well, okay. How is this going to work? It's going to work. I'm going to sit her in the seat next to me and put on her seatbelt. That's how it's going to work. Let's go. You know, how am I going to get her through the X-ray machine? You know, those are the type of things I'm wondering about. She's not going to fit on that little rack and roll through the machine. So, and I'm not putting her in carry-on. I mean, I'm not putting her in, you know, she's not going under the plane. She's going with me, and she's going to sit next to me. So I have to double up. No, those are the things I'm looking forward to having to experience, because I actually like that type of stuff. It's fun causing a little controversy every now and again.
Well, let me do some shout outs real quick, brother. Just give me one second.
All right.
Okay. All right. So we got, and let me give some of the guys to call in to talk to you. Just one second here. All right, we do have some callers. Okay, so 916 number. All right, so guys, let me get some shout-outs here and everything. Now, do me a favor, like the video. We got 297 people right now on the stream. That last one. That was a little. I was pretty much okay. That one kind of shook me a little bit, so I'm kind of gotta get myself together. But that was, I mean, it's an interesting point. Well, let me go ahead and shout this. Now, guys, I want you to those who want to call in 646-668-2519. Press 1. Okay. Shout out to East African Dog. Shout out to Brother Devon. Shout out to Leslie Charlie. Let me go ahead and shout you brothers out. Right. I try to give you the best. It was a good show tonight. MGTOW versus PUA versus dating coaches. So, you know, we're gonna definitely have a good show tonight, brothers. We're gonna definitely have a good show tonight. And then we have some business shows lined up for you brothers out here. I had to be a nigga a little bit earlier. Had to deal with some of these niggas in black YouTube. I had to give out that work play up. But let me go ahead on and shout out to the people on Super Chat here, then I'll go back to the caller. And then, guys, call in 646-668. If you want to call in and talk to the brother, we can do that right now. Shout out to Javon Smiley. I can see how he got to this point. You can try to better and try again, zero out. Like I said before, MGTOW is the socialism of the master. It's the easiest way out. Derek F., we need to raise money for this plane ride and bid. Thank you, brother. Love to shout you. No cap. I slid in DM, you meet DM last night and got no. Response. All in all, my brother, man, queens in the building. They trying to clown him in the chat, but most of y'all women in love with the deal, though. That's my brother, man. Shout out to All Mall, brother. That's my brother right there. King SYE. No woman can hurt me enough to ball it by a dog ever. Never. Derek M. That dog cost $1,600. I checked. Harry Mingo. Harry M. At least with the dog, he doesn't have to worry about that fish meal. LOL, he's nicked out. Gregory Wyatt, the dog is fully compliant. Well, brother, what's going on? Big Bro Clutch, who just called a duty camper copy of my name? What a job. Shout out to O'Shea for keeping a straight face. Marcus of O'Shea, this is a bug movie deal here. Mr. Granddad, this should be a Sandra McCullough show. Jose Haynes, brother Gregory Wyatt, oh, now I understand. I served 21 years in the Army and got divorced. Well, I upgraded my game and handled my business. No sex doll needed shaking my head. P Paradise. To the sex doll and collard green sandwich plan, thank you, Brandon L. Women will marry their vibers if they could. Same thing, almost as Derek F. Damn, I feel where it's coming from. I agree with him, and it says all life just hearing it. But the Falcon Black, you people are shocked. Why? Feminism and gynocentricity are causing these extreme behaviors. I'm apathetic to women these days. Oh, brother, Gregory, why? Oh, shit, what madness are we addressing, brother? It's definitely going on the topic. So I want to get the calls up. Call into the show for the people that want to talk to him. We have area code 916 on the line. Area code 916, you're on the air. What's going on? Area code 916.
That's my mother. So I witnessed, you know, them go at it, go back and forth about this. So, like I say, I was concerned as well. Like, oh, man, come on. This dude, what you doing here? You just going to bring all types of mess to you. You know, this ain't right. This ain't natural. You know, this ain't a good look. But after I listened to his breakdown, just like I'm breaking it down with y'all today, and I said, shoot, hey, if he like it, I love it. And if it gets him off of the meds and it makes him happy and can deal with life and be happy and not be miserable, then I'm all for it. And like you say, I mean, think about it. He already told y'all he been burnt twice. He go out there and do it again, get burnt the third time. Come on, now, that might put somebody over the edge. So with the danger that's involved of him rolling them dice and trying it again, hey, I'd rather him do this, be safe, ain't got to worry about it, he ain't hurting nobody. You know what I'm saying? So my thing is, I'm more concerned about him. So if this makes him happy, it brings him joy, I'm all for it.
Well, let me ask you this, brother. What you know,
because
somebody said, well, listen, man, I've been through something similar, and, you know, I used to basically have these problems with women, but I don't have any problems with women no more. I changed up something about me, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't have those problems anymore because, you know, I was the one that was simping. It wasn't their fault. It was my fault. I let myself be vulnerable. And what mm-hmm. would you say to somebody who might say the same thing about him? Like, hey, he put himself in these positions. You know, he didn't have to do that. You know, because other people, you know, who have been in his situation have, you know, found love and,
yeah.
You know, deal with women differently now. What would you say to those
people? Hey, I'm not knocking it if it works for them. But see, the difference is with his situation, what if he do admit that and he roll the dice and say, I'm going to give it another shot? And because we don't know when we dating, when we meeting with someone, we really don't all the time know what we walking into until you get with this person. So for him to, you know, roll the dice and do that gamble of trying again and to get hurt, you know what I'm saying, that risk of him getting hurt is for, I'm like, I got why you don't want to do it. But, hey, if you're a person that don't mind the risk or the gamble, like I tell them all the time with me, I'm a gambler. I can't do it. You know what I'm saying? I have 2, 3, 4, 5. If I could get my lady to be open to having 10 of them, I would do it. So I'm a gambler. But him, he's not. So I respect that. You know, I respect that. You don't want to roll them dice again? I respect that. But if you're the person that want to do it, I respect that as well. At the end of the day, it's to each his own. As long as you're not hurting somebody else, do you.
Okay, let me ask you this. Have you met this particular dog?
Well, I ain't met him in person yet. And me and him, we probably going to argue because I heard him say, ain't nobody else touch that titty. Cousin, I'm touching that titty. I got to see if it's real. Now, we family. Come on now. But anyway, I'm just joking. But, no, I haven't met her yet because, you know, I know this is new. He just got up, you know, maybe about 2 weeks ago. But we was me and, you know, the family and some other people, we was, waiting and anticipating this arrival because we thought he was just bullshit. But when he arrived, we like, oh, okay, this is the real deal. So when he get back down here, because he was down here a couple weeks ago, but he hadn't came yet. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to meeting him when she get here and checking out, seeing what's up with this. Now, some of my other family, like I say, my mother, my sister, oh, man, they ain't rocking with it, period. They ain't already let it be known. They ain't playing with it, no. Matter of fact, a couple of days ago, me, him, my mother, my lady, and both my sisters, we on the phone, and I just sat back and he had to defend himself against 4 women that ain't down with it. And you know how you got that lion that's got 4 lionesses nipping at him and attacking him? That was Brother Zen. And he had to defend himself against these 4 women saying, you crazy. You got a mental problem. You this, you that. And I just sat back and watched him defend and, you know, try to walk them through what he's dealing with. And he handled himself, you know, like a G. He tried to present to them why, how, you know, but they didn't quite get it. And, like I said, to each his own, they don't get it, they don't understand, but that's on them. But, yeah, I ain't met it yet. When he get down here, I'm looking forward to meeting and feeling out if that titty feel real.
All right. Let me do this. Let me see if we got anybody else on the line. Let me go back to 916. 916, brother, are you on the air? 916. Audio's out, guys, so I'm gonna end the show. So